A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Erechin Yud Tes, Erechin 19a, pagination is 37. We start towards the top of the page, about seven lines down, at the start of the fifth perek. Ha-Omer, a person who says, by way of a vow, Mishkali Olai, my weight should be upon me as an obligation to pay up its equivalent to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. Nosein mishkalo, he's going to have to pay up his weight. Im kesef kesef, im zav zav. If he was making a vow in silver, so be it. In gold, that's what he would have to pay. The Gemara discusses that if he did not specify, and he's not wealthy, so then it could be that whatever items are weighed in his city is the type of value that he was referring to when he said, Mishkali Alai, my weight is upon me. Maisa b'ima shal Yirmatya. There's the story of the mother of Yirmatya, Sha'amra, that this mother said regarding her daughter, Mishkal Biti Alai, the weight of my daughter should be upon me. And this presumably is the concept that we've discussed when we talked about these different types of vows. It's presumably an act of thanksgiving to give the weight of a certain person. For also Yerushalayim, she went up to Yerushalayim. Ushikaluha, they weighed Yirmatya. And Vinasnan, she gave Mishkala Zahav the weight in gold. A side comment over here is, indeed, people weigh different amounts at different times. At the time of the vow, they might weigh one thing. At the time that they're actually going to redeem their pledge, they might weigh something else. And the indication here seems to be that the weighing takes place when she went up to Yerushalayim. That's when the child was weighed, and that's going to be the price, the value that has to be paid. The Shita Mekubetzes here in Gimel comments that it's going to be the same time of day, so that if it's before a meal, after a meal, interesting that even when we discuss weighing things today, they recommend that if you're going to try to compare, you're gaining weight, you're losing weight, you have to weigh at the same time of day. The Mishnah continues, Mishkal Yadi Alai, the weight of my hand should be a vow upon me to pay up its weight in a commodity. So how much does a hand weigh? We don't really have a method. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, we have a method. Try this. Memali chavis mayim, you fill up a cask of water, umachnisa admar piko, and you insert the hand until the shoulder, the entire hand, the arm, and it's going to displace water. That water will flow out. Then when you remove the hand, you could see the volume of the hand, of the arm. Vishokel, and now you place into this cask of water, mibisar chamor va'atzamos vigidim, meat from a donkey with its bone, sinews, you put. Rashi says that the donkey's meat is similar to the flesh of a person, and that would be the equivalent of his vow to give the weight of the hand. Until it's once again full. So that's the volume that was displaced. Omer Rabbi Yossi says, V'chihei achev shelachavim basa keneged basa v'atzamos keneged atzamos. even flesh and bone have different densities and therefore different weights when you're trying to fill up a certain volume. You simply have to estimate how much an arm is going to weigh. And that amount of estimation is the vow. After all, the person is taking this upon themselves. Whatever method of vow could be calculated, that's what he has in mind. Now, how would we paskin between the statement of Rabbi Yehuda and the objection of Rabbi Yossi? So it's interesting that the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, in Halachos, Hilchas Erchin, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, writes simply, Ba'omer mishkel yadi o ragli o kamasi, if a person takes upon himself the weight of his hand, his foot, his height, velo piresh, and he didn't explain what type he's going to be giving, so then, based on either the fact that he's very wealthy, then he would be giving gold. Otherwise, it really is a flexible thing. Im eino muflag ba'ashirus, if he's not very wealthy, then it's devarim shadarkom lahashkel lihishakel ba'osamakom afilu peiros. Whatever gets weighed in that region, that's the type of thing that he was doing the equivalent, and that's what he would pay. The Rambam does not discuss how to do the calculation of how much weight. He only discusses what commodity you're going to have to pay in. In Pirush HaMishnayos, which is printed in the back of our Gemaras, the Rambam indeed explains the Mishnah, explains the method that Rabbi Yehuda suggested of displacement, and then he writes, V'hu mishkal yado vadai, and that's for sure a very accurate way to find out the weight of his arm. Ilu hoya habosar doma lebosar b'min uveshiur v'cheinu atzamos. If you were able to put into the cask the same amount of flesh from the donkey and the same amount of bones from the donkey. But otherwise, the fact that you know that bones of the donkey are similar to human and flesh is similar to human, but you still don't know how much to put in, says the Rambam v'alacha k'Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. In other words, the key operative word here is vadai. Rabbi Yehuda is definitely true, correct. Ilu, if it was possible to put in the right ratio of flesh and bones. But since we can't, which is Rabbi Yossi's objection, this method is not a viable method. And that's why in Mishneh Torah, Rambam doesn't bring it. And instead, he simply tells you your obligation. And as Rabbi Yossi said, you're going to have to estimate it. And that's what was intended. The Gemara tells us in the name of Rechava, Ba'asa detakli kufra, in a place where they weigh pitch, potanavshe afilu b'kufra. So then pitch is the value that you could equate the vow with. Amar Rav Papa said, Ba'asa detakli samchi, in a place where they weigh onions, patanavshe afilu b'samchi, you could even do that. The value of onions in the weight of the person. Pshita, of course. Lotzricha, no, this is needed. Debasa deshakli shadu ture talasa. They throw in an extra two or three as a bonus. Baker's dozen type of thing. Mau detema, I would think, batal taras mishkal. So now it's no longer being weighed, because they add to it. When I say baker's dozen, I'm just talking about adding, and that's sold by number. This is sold by weight, but they throw in two more things, three more things. Kamash malon, that it's still considered weight. To me, this is fascinating because indeed in Hilchos Shabbos, we have a concept that you're not allowed to get paid for work on Shabbos, and we do have law. We somehow swallow it into a greater number so that there's no concern that you're going to write on Shabbos some generosity or some greater picture of weekday work. So once you add in, it's no longer considered a precise number. Interestingly, these two halachas are handled differently. In the laws of vows, the onions are still considered weighed, even though there's some bonus thrown in. In the laws of Shabbos, if indeed you add, there is a way to go ahead and consider it not precise, and therefore a permitted way of paying someone for their work on Shabbos. Finally, as well on this staff, Vim Adam Choshuvhu, if the person is a important or wealthy person, Afagav de Lopirish, even if they didn't identify which commodity the weight should be equated with, Lefi Kevodo Amrinon, we follow the person's honorable status. And that was the story of Yermatya's mother that said, the weight of my daughter, and clearly, as it was understood, she paid and had to pay with gold. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.